Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome. I was privileged to have a new great grandson this week, Remy Jude. So I've got something to say about that in a moment. We're going to be reading from the book of Jude. It's the second to last one in the Bible. And I'll be coming to that a bit later, because I've got some words to say first. But let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering around your holy word. We confess that we live in confusing days when truth is often exchanged for lies. And when many are tempted to reshape your gospel to suit the culture rather than submit to Christ. Open our hearts today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear and minds to understand and hearts willing to obey. Lord, protect us from deception. Strengthen our faith. Help us to love truth, to stand for righteousness, and to show mercy without compromising your word. May everything that is said today glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen. So when I saw the pictures of that little chap this week, it reminded me that I was born of a woman just like all of you. That's how we all got here. That first birth. That first birth, that's what gets us on the earth. There is a second birth that will get you off the earth. And that's pretty cool, isn't it, when you think about it? It's the mother of all stories, and it's called the Bible. God works in mysterious ways. Before I became a child of God, I was living what I considered a normal life. I spoke with no regard to right or wrong. And looking back, I was ambitious, fully reliant on myself, and often going down the wrong paths. But by God's grace, I was introduced to the gospel. I really did not realize who Jesus was. At Sunday school that we had to attend when I was a child, I heard the stories about the shepherds, I heard the stories about the stable and so on. And at school assembly, I really enjoyed singing hymns, but I was never told that I can remember who Jesus was, why he was here, what the gospel meant. I certainly never heard about being born again. They never brought it up. So when by God's grace I was told, had it explained, and then read about the gospel, I thought, how did I miss that? I did not need to be told when I read the gospel to repent. I knew what repentance meant, and all of you here know what repentance means, don't you? You know what doing good is. You know what love is, joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We all know what that is. So I did not need a great explanation of repentance. I knew what it meant, and I was motivated by the gospel of Jesus. I knew what I had to do. So I said to myself, in serving whatever I wanted, doing things my way, unknowingly or knowingly, all this time not caring about anything really except family, I knew now is the time to serve God. So I went from going that way to going that way. But trust me, it's not easy. You lose friends and family. You're not the person that they know anymore. And you do not become a saint overnight, at least I did not. I'm still not there. So believe me when I tell you this last 50 years or so, give or take, have been a lot better than the first 30 years. Praise the Lord. You see, the rarest of commodities have come my way. What is the rarest of commodities, you may ask? It's peace of mind. I think I've finally got it, peace. I hammered myself, I must admit, for years with regret about my past. I knew that I was forgiven and those wiser than me would explain that to me. But I found it difficult to forgive myself. But you know, you're never going to have peace of mind without Jesus, ever. Fits of anger, hatred, discord, jealousy. You know the list of sins. There are many more, and I thankfully don't claim all of them. I gave you the list of the fruits of the Spirit. You can make your own list of sins. But sin, I did not realize it was such a trap until Jesus gave me a way out of it. I look back and I think, what was I thinking? The truth is, I wasn't thinking. You can't remove my sin or yours going your own way. It's not going to help you or me when it comes to being raised from the dead. In the beginning, if God did not create the heavens and the earth, if that's not what happened, we're not getting out of here. When we come from our mother's womb as little itsy babies, you were not sinners, as we did not know the law of Moses, but we inherited Adam's sin. God told Adam, Adam, don't eat of that tree, or you will know good and evil, and surely you will die. But when we become teenagers, what we inherited from Adam was this. We did know the difference between good and evil. You had the knowledge of good and evil. And every last one of us found out what evil is at some point. And how many of God's commandments does it take to violate and know sin? Just one. You used to be dead in your transgressions and sins when you followed the ways of the world. So when physical death comes along and you're already dead in your spiritual sense, you're cut off forever, eternally. That's it. You're finished. It's hard, but it's true. God is just and you cannot buy him off. So be thankful that you are blessed and your sins are forgiven. Your sins are covered. No sin will ever be counted against you. If you know Jesus as your Saviour. It will give you peace of mind. And not only that, you'll be raised from the dead. You see, something big happened 2,026 years ago. Jesus came to save us from our sins. If we give our life to Jesus and repent, he will wash us clean by his blood because he came and paid our debt on the cross. But he rose again at the resurrection and defeated death. Hallelujah. Isn't that a reason to praise his name? And if you don't know who Jesus is, come and see me after the service and I'll tell you. So I want to bring you to the sermon this morning because all I hear today is a lot of isms. Humanism, atheism, agnosticism, postmodernism and materialism, ism after ism. A new way of thinking. Let's change this bit of the gospel. Don't say hurty things, it upsets people. We must not lose what we've gained. We must not lose what we've gained. But in truth, it's all about, they're trying to get rid of the gospel. They're trying to get rid of it to fit in with today's world. Now we may have found peace, but beware we can become too comfortable, too lukewarm. Listen to what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And sadly, some commentators, some, not all, say the biggest dangers today come from inside our churches. So let's look at what the book of Jude warns us about. The book of Jude warns us to persevere in the truth. Its theme is stand firm in the true gospel, in a world that wants a different Jesus, a different gospel, and a different morality. That's why I went through the way that I found Jesus. How important it is to keep hold of it. So let's read verses 17 to 23, a call to persevere. This is an incredible word, actually, from Jude. It's very impactful. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own godly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who dealt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. The little letter of Jude is only one chapter long, yet it is one of the most urgent books in the New Testament. Earlier in this letter, Jude warns the church that certain people had secretly slipped into the fellowship. Not ours, I hope. They did not openly reject Christianity. They still used Christian language. They still attended gatherings. But they changed the message. Instead of calling people to repent, they excused sin. Instead of preaching holiness, they promoted license for immorality. Instead of making Jesus Lord, they made him merely a saviour who asks nothing of us. Jude says in verse 4, they had perverted the grace of our God into a license for immorality. That warning is just as relevant today. We live in an age where many churches are under pressure to change the gospel so that no one is offended. Many would rather change scripture than change themselves. There are voices saying, God doesn't really mind how we live. Repentance is outdated. Sin is just a lifestyle choice. Love means accepting everything. Yet Jesus never separated love from truth. He loves sinners enough to call them to repentance. Our culture wants a Christianity without the cross, without holiness, without obedience, and without judgment. But such a message is not Christianity at all. Jude now turns from exposing false teachers to encouraging faithful believers. His message is wonderfully practical. He tells us how to persevere. Remember God's word. Dear friends, remember what the apostles foretold. Remarkably simple. Remember. False teachers always encourage us to forget. Forget what Jesus taught. Forget what the apostles wrote. Forget God's standards. Replace eternal truth with today's opinion. But Jude says, remember. The apostles warned this would happen. Paul warned the Ephesian leaders, savage wolves will come in amongst you. Peter warned about false teachers. Jesus himself warned many false prophets would arise. None of this has surprised God. Today there are many who claim to preach Christianity while denying biblical truth. Some deny Christ's uniqueness. Some deny the authority of Scripture. Some deny the reality of judgment. Some deny the necessity of repentance. Some bless what God calls sin. Don't tell me that doesn't happen. It's happening. People are